Hello and welcome to the Guelph Politicast. I'm Adam A. Donaldson of Guelph Politico. If this is your first time streaming or downloading the program, Guelph Politicast is an interview show where I talk to politicians, activists, and people of note making a difference or just making life in the Royal City more interesting. For previous episodes of the Guelph Politicast, you can find them on the Guelph Politicast channel on Podbean, or you can subscribe through iTunes or Stitcher. Today I talk to Heather Flaherty. She's the General Manager of Parks and Recreation for the City of Guelph and a very busy woman right now. To get a few minutes with her is tough enough these days, let alone half an hour to record a full podcast. Now, why is that? She's just a couple of days away from cutting the ribbon on the grand reopening of one of the city's premier recreational facilities, the Victoria Road Recreation Center. With such an auspicious occasion in the air, after over a year of long hard work, it seemed like a good time to talk with the manager of Parks and Rec to learn a little bit more about her job and how those city services are delivered. Helping to create an active and vital city is the topic of this week's Guelph Politicast. Now, you might be surprised that June is Parks and Recreation Month, but if you follow the Guelph Breaking News Tumblr, you really shouldn't be. Anyway, this month-long program is led by Parks and Recreation Ontario to promote the importance and benefits of being active and how recreation and parks contribute to a quality of life for individuals, families, and communities. So what better time to throw open the doors to the Victoria Road Recreation Center, built in 1974, but with several outdated amenities. The ground and mortar and brick was finally broken last spring, and now the end result is about to be revealed to the public. That's the timing part of this edition of the podcast. The other part is my ongoing attempt to demystify the people and processes of City Hall. So in talking to Flaherty, I wanted to learn more about Parks and Rec, how its services are delivered, how they choose what projects to pursue, and how they balance the demands of a city full of people looking for different recreational experiences. We also go a little behind the scenes on what the changes are to the Victoria Road Rec Center, and what people will notice when they return to using it this weekend. There will be a video attached to this post on the main Politico page, and that will give you a first-hand look at some of those changes. And lastly, before getting into the pod, for those of you looking forward to a South End Rec Center someday, there's an update about that particular project and when you might see some action on that development. And you also might hear an inside joke about the TV show Parks and Rec. I'll let you find that on your own, though. So I caught up with Heather Flaherty earlier this week in the Oak Room of the brand new remodeled Victoria Road Recreation Center. Heather Flaherty, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for having me, Adam.
And we are sitting in the Victoria Road Recreation Center, the new and improved Victoria Recreation Center. To begin with, this is a major city facility where a lot of programs are run out of. How has the city coped with taking this place offline for what's been over a year? And I know that there's been difficulties and there hasn't been as much revenue from recreation programs, but just logistically from your end of it, managing it all, has this been like an additional headache on top of the already substantial headache of basic and almost like tearing this place down and rebuilding it again?
You're absolutely right, Adam. This project is multifaceted, has several layers. Obviously, just coming up to the design of changing it to modernize this facility, let alone working with our stakeholders and the patrons who lived, breathed, and loved this facility from its onset in 1974 to now. Having to displace recreation patrons was one of our biggest concerns, to make sure that we could accommodate our patrons as best we could in our other facilities, provide additional programs and support where possible. But we know that patrons are very loyal, mm-hmm. and it's to drive across town maybe wasn't as accommodating to them in their schedules as they may have liked. But we hope and are really positive that the patrons will return and love the new additions to the facility to make it that modern recreation center that's their home base and their home facility.
There's a sense that this is, since 1974, it's been people's neighborhood rec center. There have been people who live around here who come here all the time. And it is, when you think about, you can't help but feel for those people that, for a year, this major part of their life for decades has been unavailable to them.
Yes.
It's something else to think about. Let's talk about specific changes,
sure.
because I think a lot of people are interested to know what they will be looking at when this place opens again on Saturday.
Well, back in 1974 when it was built, it was designed at the time under the current building code to meet certain accessibility features at the time.
Mm-hmm.
move forward to present day, we have now really taking the AODA, the Accessibility for Ontario with Disabilities Act, and all of those requirements to fruition on a beautiful front entrance entrance that is accessible and level. There's certainly an elevator in place. The big bulky ramps have been removed. Mm-hmm. We've made sure that there's lots of viewing and open glass and areas for people to feel that they're part of the recreation center. The accessible and universal change rooms on the pool level has certainly been a massive improvement and a requirement to under our legislation. As soon as you start renovating a facility, we're required to meet those standards.
Right.
And the city of Guelph, which I'm so proud that we took an extra step, have moved even further, and we have the first pool pod, which is the first pool pod in Ontario, second in North America.
Mm-hmm.
And the city of Guelph is really proud to have that on our pool deck, so that our aquatic patrons or patrons that have mobility issues or any kind of requirements to have assistance into the pool. It's an independent, amazing product that we're so thrilled to be able to showcase on opening day.
Can you talk about the pool pod, you know, in terms of what it does and how it works?
In simple terms, the pool pod is like an elevator. It basically opens up. There'll be a patron will have a wristband that has a sensor to it. It will open up. If it requires a wheelchair, there's a special wheelchair that goes with it. Basically go onto the lift. It moves very slowly out over the water surfaces and lowers you down into the pool. Again, you come back, hit your sensor, and it's easily for you to come up. It's safe. I was on it. I got almost to the pool level. They wanted to dunk me in, but I got to the top of the water. But what a great asset, and it's going to be certainly something that other municipalities have been looking into. We were very fortunate to be able to have this product come from Italy. It's a mm-hmm. it's part of the Mirtha pool system of which we put in, and we'll have many municipalities flooding through our doors wanting to see this product in action as it gains more exposure and moves across the bigger municipalities that have been eyeing it up mm-hmm. but trying to decide how to implement those kinds of mass productions when it's a small item now. Europe has it, now we're having it, and the second in North America, can't be more proud.
Is that because it's new, or is it because it's a Europe-made device? Or?
Well, it's part of the Mirtha pool system. So I would use the Mirtha system like bath fitters.
Okay.
It basically, the system fits over top of our pool.
Okay.
So our pool tank got outfitted with a brand new Mirtha system liner. And these liners are what all of the Pan Am pools that were built use. So they use this Mirtha system. It's new, it's innovative. Again, European countries have been using some of these things for a long time, but we were really fortunate to be able to use this system. It's the production of this pool pod that is, they only make 15 a year.
Oh, wow.
So trying to ramp up for bigger, larger cities that are looking for, you know, 50 at a time, or
right.
That's going to be a bigger purchasing problem. But I'm glad we got in under the time frame to be able to showcase it mm-hmm. and really show the community what we're going to do here.
Mm-hmm. In terms of how the design comes together, there are, of course, you mentioned that there are requirements that come into play as soon as you start taking a hammer to a building in Ontario. So you have Ontario standards you meet, you have demands of the community,
mm-hmm.
you have demands of the city as well in terms of what the city needs for parks and rec services. And then on top of that, I'm sure you must have your own ideas, but how much say do you have as manager in terms of what goes into, I mean, in terms of your own personal living this day after day, and you hear maybe someone like Mayor Guthrie or Councillor Gibson say, well, what we need is this. And maybe that doesn't line up with your interpretation.
I think I've been very fortunate coming into this project into the early development stages. I've been here about 2.5 years now. So just prior to that, things we're ramping up on moving this project forward.
Mm-hmm.
I think timing was perfect for me to come in and start taking a look and be more passionate about my experience in my other municipalities and my career in recreation, to know what works, what doesn't work, what can we do, how can we do it, and working very closely with the architect. And along with all of those legislative requirements that we've done, I think we've hit the mark on what was asked of us, what we've heard through community engagement, what our staff need for in terms of operation. And yes, there's some Heather things in this facility that I'm sure some of the staff will say, oh, that was all Heather. And that's okay, and we'll keep those. So even up to this morning, Adam, those flagpoles that were just installed about an hour and a half ago.
Those flags are new.
Those flags are brand new, and I was ironing them myself to get the creases out before they went up right here on this boardroom table. So there's things that we're very passionate about. That's just a small tidbit, but there's details, there's pieces, there's reasons for most things that are in this building.
Mm-hmm.
And as a department and as the general manager, I feel I've had adequate say to say what's in it to meet the needs of our customers and our community.
What's a Heather Easter egg here when people come in looking for the Heather touch?
The Heather touch?
Yeah.
I think everyone will say that color on the wall is the Heather touch. So there's
a
few Easter
eggs.
That's not mauve. That would be a pure teal.
It's a teal, okay.
And if you had any idea, Adam, the discussion over colors in this building and the mess of communication that happens, and that's just one thing. So there's some Easter eggs, but I'll share that one with you.
One of the reasons I wanted to do this wasn't just to talk about the Victoria Road Recreation Center. I also like to get into, in terms of how senior management at City Hall works, and you're in your position in particular, and it seemed to line up well that this massive undertaking was opening at the same time. But to talk a bit more generally, what does a day in the life of someone who manages parks and recreation look like?
Adam, I'm really proud to be in the position I'm in because I have such a diverse portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So the Parks and Recreation Department in the city is divided into three significant components. So there's parks, open space planning.
Mm-hmm.
So that's our team that looks after planning in all of our community parks, sports fields, development applications. They review those, do trail connections. They're a significant group. The next group is parks operations and forestry. Not always is forestry added in under a Parks and Recreation Department,
mm-hmm.
but the massive team of parks operation and forestry that looks after horticulture, infrastructure, all of our splash pads. When you think of all the trail development and our community garden program, the urban forestry management plan, all of those components and the teams that are working through the special events and in our parks and sanitation and recycling programs, that's a significant portfolio only on its own.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third major component is recreation services. So recreation services is compiled of all of our recreation programs and aquatics. It's our bookings and events team that look after all of the bookings for all of the facilities across the city. So I could spend different times with each of them all day long, but it's lots of balls in the air. It's amazing because I have a fantastic group of staff who are all passionate about their careers and their areas of development, and when they need me, they know where I am, but I need them as well, and I appreciate everything they do for me every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big portfolio with over 108 full-time staff,
mm-hmm.
and at any given time there could be 400 part-time staff working for us, and whether it's contract, seasonal, or student positions, lifeguards, aquatic staff, any of those kinds of positions across the city. And we have a significant grant program. We have the Evergreen Senior Center. We have the new Pottery Center now. So the portfolio is growing, the department's growing, and I'm really proud of our team to be able to do that. So Heather doesn't sleep much, but because I'm so invested and I want to serve the residents well and my staff well.
That's something you have in common with Leslie Knope, who runs a fictional Parks and Rec department.
Oh.
Little sleep. I take it you watch the show, or have watched the show.
I know what you're talking about. Yes.
If you're the Leslie Knope, who's the Ron Swanson in the
Gulf
Parks
department? Oh, I don't know.
I had to ask.
Of course.
In terms of the challenges, I mean, it sounds like balance is maybe a big challenge, but in terms of like what you face every day, is it just a matter of timing? Is it there's not enough time in the day to deal with, you know, arranging the programs, putting out the booklet twice a year that tells you what every, like 400, not maybe not 400 pages, but 200, certainly 200 pages of what's going on. So, you know, when you get to like maybe around 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock in the morning, and you're looking at the rest of your day, what's the biggest challenge facing you?
Well, every day is a new day. It's certainly never planned as you would think. And mostly things come in overnight and on the weekend. Mm-hmm. So along with resident inquiries and or issues or complaints that we spend time on responding to, there is all of those types of things that are happening behind the scenes that need sign-off and approvals, whether it's a media release from corporate communications, whether it's the sign-off of the guide, that's all in my schedule. So there's not many days where you can see a break in finding a time where I can go, okay, it's desk time. So there is a lot of work at home, little Sunday afternoon work, and I've my staff now know that after a while, when I started rhyming off and sending out, getting ready for the week emails, that I started to delay them for the morning because they were saying, why are you working so? Stop it. Stop emailing us. So, no, everyone's really good. It's how I work. I like coordinating things. I'm trying to be a present general manager in all aspects of the job, and my staff allow me to do that.
So what happens when you go on vacation?
Well, that's happening very soon after this project. When I go on vacation, it's very hard for me to leave that BlackBerry aside. But when I designate one of my senior managers to be able to step in my role, I know confidently that they can do that for me and I can have a little chance to recharge.
You mentioned getting emails from people who use Parks and Rec services, maybe people who are mad about something not being offered anymore or a certain problem in a park. In terms of, and this goes back to another issue of balance, this nothing in the in the city can be everything people want it to be. So when you're approaching that, how do you balance when somebody has like a random complaint? Something that comes to mind is somebody talked to me about the fact there wasn't going to be a weight room in the Victoria Recreation Center anymore. And I think everybody appreciates the reasons why, because of the expanded, as we were mentioning earlier, the expanded bathroom facilities as mandated by the Ontario government. But there's an answer to that that is the logical, practical, pragmatic, we're doing this why reason. But then there's also someone who is concerned about getting feedback from members of the community. How do you answer that?
So inherently, I'm a people pleaser and a people person that wants to make sure people are happy with services or products or any kind of facilities.
So your immediate thought was, let's bring the weight room back.
That would be something I do.
Yeah.
But you said it earlier, you can't be all things to all people.
Mm-hmm.
And regardless of all of the wonderful intent or all of the background information we can provide or the support for or against whatever that topic is, we're not going to please everyone.
Right.
So at some point in my career, I had to take a breath and realize that I can't do everything for everyone, and nor should I expect my staff to do that as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we provide the best information, the most honest and transparent answers to questions, concerns, issues that we can with the information we have at hand and on that given day. And that's all we can do to provide it. So whether it may not be the answer, that same answer to one person could be satisfactory and thank you very much, I appreciate your answer, and not satisfactory to the exact same question for someone else, and they want to pursue. And we've been handling those types of inquiries for a very long time, and they're not necessarily ever going to stop. And depending on the day, it's a different topic. But I have to know that we're doing the best we can with what we have, and that we're going to provide those answers to the best of our ability.
Mm-hmm. And you do get also the people who have their problem they want to address right now, and maybe it's in the queue.
That's right.
And you know, it's I imagine a lot of this is also managing expectations. You know, and one of the things that comes to mind is what the South End, who are many of whom are desperately looking for our recreation center. And I know that there was money put aside in the budget to sort of start the initial planning for that, but in terms of a, maybe you can shed some light in terms of a timetable, not just the money issue, which is of course a big part of it, but in terms of when people might be able to start seeing movement
on
that.
I can certainly tell you some information about that. So managing expectations is something that I think not only myself as the general manager, but all other general managers are trying to do in their respective areas. With respect to South End in particular, yesterday in this room, mm-hmm. we signed off the project charter
okay.
for the South End to move to detailed design. So what the expectation will be is that we're meeting with our senior staff, the steering committee, early next week, have that ready to go out for tender so that we're going out for architectural services to start the rendering process mm-hmm. So that we can bring that rendering, that picture, the look, the feel to council in April of 2018-ish so that they'll see where things are at. And at that time, we'll be asking council for some further direction in terms of how to proceed
mm-hmm.
so that we are managing the expectations of the community. We're managing financially the money that has been allocated to this detailed design. And basically then to see where we're, if there's any infrastructure funding programs available or how we're going to proceed with the city and where we're at with debt financing to be able to say, by this year, council, you can go. If we don't receive any fairy dust from the province or the feds on this project, this is when the city can financially afford that debt.
Mm-hmm.
And that year, I believe, is 2023.
Mm-hmm.
However, there's obviously moves within capital programs. So
right.
we want to make sure that the design we create in 2017-18, if it needs to sit on the shelf, it can sit. But let's make sure our money is being spent properly to let it sit. And then take it to detail design at a later date. So there's going to be some questions and some considerations of council by next spring.
Okay. So in terms of the planning, what comes forward in April, what will that look like? Will that just be sort of...
It'll be a picture.
It'll be a
rendering of these are the amenities. And the amenities have been set. So this okay. in the charter, we know it's going to be a twin pad arena. We know it will have a pool. We know it will have a double gymnasium. We know it will have a walking track. We know it will have program rooms designed for preschool, seniors, adults, and those activities that are in typical to every recreation center.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the core.
That sounds pretty big.
It is about 150,000 square foot facility.
Okay.
So it would be, in size, just because of the shape, a little bigger than West End-ish.
Okay.
But the same kinds of components as the West End Community Center. But yes, it's going to be packaged and nestled into that site nicely. But that's what the community will see.
Mm.
And back in 2014, and when the feasibility study happened, there was a ton of community engagement that fed into that document, and it's
okay.
that document that's going to drive this forward.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, I haven't finished Spec Road, and I'm on to South End.
I know ice time is a big thing in the city, and one of the reasons why this, you know, closing down the Victoria Road Center was as difficult as it was because there is not enough ice in the city for hockey, and of course we have a ton of people who come in from out of town to take part in tournaments and things, and I think that's and I always bring this up when the subject comes up. I think it's one of the best kept secrets, maybe not to the people who play hockey, but the people like me who pay no attention to hockey, that this is a really big sports, I would call it sports tourism town, or something. I talked to Dana about.
Yes,
we draw in a lot of people who take part in our facilities, and that's another, I think, angle to this, is that you're not just making facilities for people who live and play in Guelph. It's for people visiting as well.
So this facility and the stakeholder involvement that we had in this design certainly hit on the stakeholders that we will look at to create the South End. So our
mm-hmm.
Guelph Minor Hockey System and the support we had with working with them to make sure through this project that we kept this ice surface open. And this was a significant piece of a milestone that we knew we couldn't lose a full pad for a season
mm-hmm.
without it impacting significantly to those nonprofit groups and organizations. And that's why the city consciously chose to spend, and I'll say significant dollars, to keep that pad open or to halt construction and make sure that that side could be safe for partial occupancy. And we thank our stakeholders for the adaptations they had to make to do that. So moving, and the same thing happened with the Marlins and the work that we've done in the pool. The same thing will happen when we move to South End. And ice time, although ice time is spread out, mm-hmm. we all know, and I've said this to others, that everybody wants ice time mm-hmm. between 6 p.m. and 9 p.m.
Yeah.
But we have ice in 24 hours.
That's right.
So managing the expectations not only of what people perceive to be a lack of ice.
Mm-hmm.
If you look at our records, we do not have a lack of ice.
Mm-hmm.
Our booking time. So we need to help work with the groups so that our prime time times are earlier. And there's going to be an allocation policy that's going to work with that. But we're going to work with our groups to make that happen. Everybody wants the same ice.
Mm-hmm.
That's why there's that feeling that there's no ice.
If you want ice time at 10 a.m. on a Monday, you're probably
bring
set.
It.
Yeah.
All kinds of time. But we do use a lot of ice time during the day with our schools.
Mm-hmm.
Our schools have been great. We have some adult groups that come in overnight shifts, some leagues or companies that have corporate time. There's shinny, there's skate. So we do try and keep the facilities open the best we can during the day and to meet the demands of those patrons that are available to come to our ice time during the day. So although it's not hour to hour, we try and make sure we accommodate the skating club, all those kinds of things.
What would surprise people about your job in terms of maybe some of the things you're asked to deal with on day to day?
Oh, Adam, you got me on that question. I don't know that it would surprise. I think it would be if I actually thought, and sometimes, Adam, it surprised myself. If I actually think about the components in each of those three portfolios that I talked to you that follow through the whole department, there's some really cool things we're doing. And I'm in this little podcast, I'm not even going to be able to touch on all of them because I'm so proud of it. But I almost forget until it kind of pops up again that I need to work on the amount of things and the amount of different areas that you have to be in tune with and touch with, understanding different legislative and or provincial or federal organizations that impact some of the work you do and those connections and networks. The grants, Energize Guelph, what a fantastic grant that we have through the feds and the province for that program. And staff on site here are really working with the community. So it's not just what does Heather do that's exciting or different. I think depending on who it was, it would be different every day, but it's significant. And I take pause a lot to think of how great this department is and how amazed that the staff that are doing the things they do and their knowledge and their wealth, it's like tentacles everywhere. And I'm just happy that we're providing a really good service to the city. I'm there for them to be able to help provide guides, do some strategic planning, facilitate, keep on with the corporate vision goals, and to guide that process, but it's the staff that are doing that good work. So I think it would be hard for me to say one thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of something in every one of those areas.
Well, this place opens on Saturday or reopens on Saturday. What is going to be next on your plate come Monday?
Well, I have a full plate starting Monday. And to be honest, we're right into the middle of budget. We're starting things off to kick off for 2018. There's part-time staff review for the impacts on minimum wage. That's part of my Monday morning. And so there's no skipping a beat. So I need to let this go, let staff take it from here, and move on Monday to the next set of things that are coming up for the summer and our work that still needs to be done even though this is happening, because this is kind of off the side of our desk.
Mm-hmm.
It's a big, big job. It's taken a lot of time, and the staff here, certainly my manager of recreation services, Lynn Briggs, has been living and breathing here along with her operations team, and I'm so thrilled that they're going to be able to take it from here. And I can get off and do some other things with the other areas that have been recognizing that I haven't been maybe as present. And I'll get back to them and help where I can.
Well, having said that, we'll let you get back to finishing this project. So Heather Flattery, thank you so much for talking to me today.
Adam, thank you so much for having me. Look forward to doing it again.
And once again, that was Heather Flaherty, General Manager of Parks and Recreation for the City of Guelph. You can learn more about what Parks and Rec has to offer at guelph.ca/living/recreation. And you can attend the grand opening of the Victoria Road Recreation Center at 151 Victoria Road North on Saturday, June 24th at 11 a.m. And that's it for this edition of the Guelph Politicast. The music for the Guelph Politicast comes from KPM Classics and Sid Dale. The host for the Guelph Politicast is Podbean. Go to guelphpoliticast.podbean.com to listen to past episodes. And while you're there, you can also listen to Open Source's Guelph. If you missed last Thursday's episode on CFRU, you can download it via the Politicast channel on Podbean. You can get in touch with me by email at adamadonaldson@gmail.com. Reach me through Twitter at adamadonaldson. There is a Guelph Politico Facebook page at facebook.com/politicoguelph. And you can donate to the Guelph Politico Patreon at patreon.com/guelphpolitico. If you like locally sourced independent media in the city of Guelph, please consider donating. And for all the latest local political news, check out guelphpolitico.blogspot.ca, where we will have a new episode of the Guelph Politicast for you shortly. And until then, see you next time.